Welcome to the Mastery Podcast with your host, Mark Coles. I have dedicated the last 15 years as a fitness professional to mastering my mind, my craft, and my business. It is my passion and mission to help each of you to do the same. Over the coming episodes, I will be providing you with all the necessary tools to be able to take full control of your career and your life. I'm really looking forward to going on this very exciting journey with you. So let's get started. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Mastery Podcast. I hope you and your family are safe and well during these challenging times. I decided to bring another guest onto the episode today. I'm delighted to be joined by somebody who's become a great friend, someone who I have an immense amount of respect for in the fitness industry and as a human being, someone who I know on this episode today is going to inspire you, motivate you, and equip you with a lot of tools to support you and drive you through not just these challenging times, but by sharing his journey will inspire and motivate you to take action and move towards the goals that you truly aspire to achieving. Ben, thank you for joining me on today's episode.
Thank you so much, Mark. That was a hell of an introduction. I appreciate that.
No, I mean every word. I'm really grateful that you're here. And as you and I speak about a lot, you know, I've got three pillars that I kind of focus on when I support any coach. And one of them is personal growth and development. The other is kind of physical and health and wellness. And the third one is professional. And when I meet coaches and I talk about the kind of 360 coach, the kind of 360 degrees of excellence, which is looking at personal growth and development, physical, professional, you're a coach that for me has everything. You know, you're a great person. Thank you. An incredible athlete, and you know, you've got a great business, and to that I'm so excited for everybody to have the time today, and hopefully you'll make the time to listen to today's episode. But before we get into it, Ben, you know, you've been in the industry for a while now. Tell us kind of, if you can, what got you into the industry, you know, what's been your kind of journey up to now?
Good question. So I've been in the fitness industry for nearly 10 years now. And my journey to the industry was, I wouldn't say it's orthodox, but I kind of fell into it. I left school after doing my GCSEs, knowing that there's no A-levels I wanted to pursue. And I wanted to be a film director. So I spent 4 years studying film and TV, got a couple of jobs, some smaller ones working on TV productions. And then I got one on Game of Thrones. So the first season of Game of Thrones, so I worked on that as a trainee assistant director. It sounds far fancier than it actually was. Basically, my job was to kind of look after the actors and just make sure they were on set at times. And it was pretty boring, to be honest. But I got to meet Sean Bean, who was in Lord of the Rings, so that was awesome.
Amazing.
But one of the days I was standing there, and to be honest, like, it was very long hours. The food was poor. I didn't enjoy it at all. And I think that was quite evident on my face to one of the extras, and I was standing there, he was looking after him. And I said, what do you do? Like, what is it you do that allows you to have this time off? And he's like, oh, I'm a personal trainer. I was like, what's that? What does that mean? And he's like, oh, I just help people in the gym. You know, I help them train. And I was like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. And as the day went on, you know, the day was very, very long. So I was chatting away to this guy, and he's like, oh, you look like you're in pretty decent shape. Like, do you like going to the gym? I said, yeah, I love going to the gym. Like, it's been something I've really gotten into over the last few years. I go with my friends. It's just something fun. And it kind of replaced, you know, competitive sports like rugby, athletics and stuff like that. And not only that, but I had seen a huge improvement in my physical appearance and my mental health in relation to my cystic fibrosis. But we'll get into that later. So I said, right, how do I become a personal trainer? Because I don't want to do this anymore. I can't physically do this anymore. It was taking a huge toll on my physical health and then therefore my mental health. And he told me the path to take. So I did my level 2, did my level 3, and then got hired by Fitness First back when they existed. I don't even know if they exist anymore.
Yeah.
Worked as a fitness staff for a while, and then was told that I needed to move into being a full-time personal trainer, which, to be honest, at the time, terrifying. the idea of me having to go out and get my own clients, you know, that scared me. Because again, at that point, the funny thing is that I'm not a hugely confident person. Like a lot of people will probably think that I am, and assume I am, but to be honest, you know, I've always had this idea of I'll just pretend to be this confident person until people start treating me like that. And then that gave me the confidence that I lacked. So the idea of, you know, going over to people I've never met before and introducing myself and basically trying to get money off them, it's terrified me. But I've always been a very sociable person. I'm very easy to speak to, I hope. And I use that to my advantage. I didn't, you know, I just would chat to people and they'd be like, oh, I see you're a personal trainer. You're wearing the black t-shirt. How much your sessions? And I kind of fell into it like that. And I developed a pretty good one-to-one personal training business. And then I got sick. And luckily, I was still employed by Fitness First to some degree. But when I got sick, I was off for a month. And when I say I got sick, it was basically the after effects of working in the film industry and not being, you know, not eating at right times, not sleeping, not training. That all compounded to make me.
I think maybe at this moment it would be appropriate for us to kind of discuss the cystic fibrosis.
Yeah, sounds good. So I have cystic fibrosis. It's a genetic condition. So it takes both your parents to have a copy of the CF gene in order for the child to have it. So I've got an older brother, a younger sister who both have copies of CF in their genes, but they didn't get both copies. So I was the lucky one. And essentially cystic fibrosis affects the mucus within your body. So mucus is like, imagine a car, and a car obviously needs oil to make all the functions within a car run smoothly. Imagine a normal person, so someone like yourself, Mark, the mucus within your body is like water in a jar. If you swirled that water around that jar, moves very freely, fine. Someone with cystic fibrosis, you replace that water with something akin to wallpaper paste or PVA glue. So all the functions within the body are much more difficult. And the unfortunate thing with that mucus is that it is a fantastic breeding ground for bacteria. So once someone with cystic fibrosis, if they get a chest infection, for instance, and pick up a bug, that bug sits in that mucus. And because it's thick, sticky nature, it's hard for that you to clear that up. So you know that like horrible stuff you cough up when you've got a chest infection, that stays in our lungs. And it's very difficult for us to clear that. And then that sitting in my lungs or our lungs for a long period of time causes permanent damage to the lung tissue, which then over time you get more and more chest infections. You essentially need a lung transplant. And unfortunately, that is not as straightforward as a lot of people would think. And also, there's not a huge amount of organ donations being done. So that's one of the primary ways that people pass away from cystic fibrosis at a pretty young age. And currently, the life expectancy for someone with cystic fibrosis in the UK is 47. Mm-hmm. And I'm 30 now, so I'm middle-aged.
Was this heavily linked with, you know, obviously when you got sick in the film industry, was this linked to obviously to your CF at the time?
Yep. Yeah. So, and upon reflecting on it at the time, I just thought, oh, crap luck, I got sick. But then, you know, looking back on it, I was like, okay, well, what were the factors that opened me up to potentially getting sick? Because, you know, it is down to chance, but there are some things that you can do which are going to swing that chance back in your favor. So the first thing wasn't sleeping. Obviously, we know that sleep is a huge component to recovery, good immune system, like massive point. Wasn't eating correctly, wasn't eating enough food, so therefore my immune system was lowered again. And then I wasn't able to train as well. So those three things combined, it was only a matter of time before I got sick. Mm-hmm. And that's when I kind of, so when I was in hospital, I was like, I'm losing money. I'm not making any money here because I'm a personal trainer. Luckily, Fitness First were paying me some money, but not enough. And that's when I started looking at online coaching. I was like, right, well, I would need to be able to work with people when I'm not necessarily in a gym. And that's how I kind of got to the position I'm in now.
And how did you, I mean, this is, you know, obviously right now, this clearly is a challenging time for you, especially mm-hmm. with the coronavirus and it being very much a kind of airway respiratory, yeah?
Yeah.
virus. Just before we kind of delve into everything, I mean, how are you? What restrictions have been placed upon you during this time?
I can't leave my house, pretty much. I think I can just about take Ollie out for a walk. Luckily, my wife Janice does that for me on most occasions. But I'm pretty much housebound. It feels like I'm on house arrest. That's the best way of explaining it. It feels like I'm on house arrest. But mentally, I'm coping with it quite well because I didn't realize that this is pretty much my lifestyle anyway.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a hermit, apparently. I didn't realize that until someone says, you can't do this, you can't do that. I was like, well, I actually didn't do that.
That's what I do anyway.
So strange. Well,
I mean, you know, just for you, and this is something I really want to kind of talk about today, is somebody that, you know, when we have something that people will say, this means you can't, this means that will happen, and that means that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us feel that because we have low self-confidence, because I look a particular way, because someone says I can't, you in our industry have said, fuck you. And I love that with your attitude, in that you have proved not people wrong. You set out on a mission to prove CF that you can achieve what you wanted to achieve. Yeah. What have you developed in yourself? I mean, what are the perceived limitations to someone with CF that you have kind of proven against?
Well, first of all, weight gain. That's the big thing. Growing up, the limitations on my ability to gain weight were huge. I was always a very skinny child, but again, we all know that that's partly genetics as well. You know, both my parents are pretty lean.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, that could be just my genetics. And, you know, I hadn't gone through puberty, so I had zero muscle tissue and very little body fat, but I was also super active as well as a child. So that was probably that. But then, yeah, it was when I started hitting my teenage years, the doctors were like, oh, you know, your weight's not really changing much. And they started putting a lot of emphasis on my body weight, because the thing with cystic fibrosis is there's a huge emphasis on body weight, because if you've got a higher body weight and your BMI, which we know isn't a very terribly accurate way of measuring someone's health, but the old school approach to cystic fibrosis is just get them to gain weight. Doesn't matter if it's muscle or body fat, just get them some weight, because it gives them a better chance to fight off immune system, you know, or any bugs or anything they get. And it means they've got some weight to lose when they do inevitably get sick. So gaining weight was a huge thing for me. And just to be honest, like, my doctors, most of the conversations were between my parents and the doctors. So I didn't really listen as a child. I just kind of sat there and swung my feet and waited for them to do tests on me and did the tests and usually aced them and then was like, right, cool. But the great thing that I've always said, and I will always, always credit my parents for doing this for me, is they never put limitations on me, ever. They would say, you know, go ahead and try this, find out yourself whether this works or not, but just be wary of your CF. Just be aware of it. Don't let it stop you, but just keep it in the back of your mind. So in terms of that, I didn't feel like there was that many restrictions on me, although at the same time, I knew there might be, if that makes sense. And it's when I started training with weights and when I started, you know, I got my dad, got my brother and I a multi-gym kit from Santa. And it's when I started going out and using that, because I just wanted to look like my dad. My dad's 6'2", really well-built guy. I just wanted to look like him. And I would go out and do all the weights, and I would do it nearly every single night. In fact, I still remember when I was young, my friends would all come around and play in our garden. My parents had a big garden. And I would be like, all right, 2 seconds, guys. And I would go and do a full workout, then go out and muck around on the trampoline or throw a football around. And when I started seeing physical changes in my body, I was like, maybe all these limitations these doctors and stuff have put on me aren't applicable to me. Maybe my CF isn't as severe as what they've made it out to be, or maybe CF isn't as severe as I thought it was. And the thing is with limitations is once you achieve even just one small thing, the confidence it gives you to then try something else is like, oh, it kind of opens the door. And that's sometimes all people need, just that door to just creak open, see that sliver of light of all the possibilities that they could achieve. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't even touch the handle of that door. Whereas I just kind of creaked it open, was like, oh, okay, there's scope for a lot of things for me to be able to achieve. And just by putting on a little bit of muscle tissue, and I remember one of my friends just being like, oh, you look like you're getting quite muscular. And because I was so skinny, any muscle I did put on was very evident. And that just was like, okay, let's see what else I can do. So in terms of what I felt limited by, in terms of a CF, again, those little mini wins kind of made me go, all right, well, maybe I'm not as limited as people say I am.
How is that like small win mentality? Because we've got a lot of fitness professionals, personal trainers, online coaches. You know, there's a lot of perceived limitations. You know, I'm not very clever at school. I'm not very big at the moment. You know, whatever you perceived was a limitation, you went, no, I'm going to open that door. Like, you must speak to people very frequently who have their own limitations. And, you know, what's your advice to people that have these inbuilt limitations that they think that is the thing that's going to stop them? My parents weren't clever. I'm not clever. I'm not very big. I'm not very fit. My family have always been big.
I think that way of thinking is dangerous. It's the only way I can describe it is very caged thinking. And if you allow yourself to live and your brain to live in that cage, that people have put that on you. You don't decide that you didn't wake up and go, I'm limited. It's because people have said to you that you are. So they've essentially created those bars around you. But again, it's up to you whether you stay in that cage or not. And that's what I decided. And I don't know when it happened. I don't know how it happened, but I just thought, I don't want to live the way these people have said I'm going to live. I'm going to test my own limits and see what I can do. And if I can prove these people wrong, which I have done on multiple occasions, like, what else could I achieve? And the advice I give to other people is try to think the way I think, like try to break out of that cage. And honestly, what I say is, if I can do this, anyone can do this. And I know a lot of people, like, that's a very common phrase, but my honest truth is, like, if I can do this, anyone can. Like, I'm not amazingly talented. I'm not incredibly smart. I'm not dumb, and I'm not untalented, but I'm nothing special. Mm. I just work, and I'm consistent with the stuff I do, and there's nothing sexy about what I do. It's just consistently doing pretty kind of boring stuff. But that's, you know, that's the truth. Like, if you're going to achieve something, it's not going to be very sexy. You know, all the work you've put in to get to where you are today, it's not sexy. So it's hard to market. It's hard to push. But realistically, that's how you've gotten to where you are. It's those little tiny steps to get to where you are that get you where you are.
And I think, like you said, and this is incredibly valuable, is you know, you have to get the cog to start moving. You have to move the wheel initially before anything will even start to move forward. Yep. And your confidence will move forward with momentum.
Yep.
But you need to start the momentum. And sometimes, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, something that you talk to me a great deal about is this word optimism. You know, we have this optimistic view on if we train and if we sleep, and if we get our vitamins, and if we focus on a really positive mindset and an outlook. We had this amazing conversation the other day, and I'm glad that it's kind of moved into it, that your own belief in your own capabilities has the power to bring about so much. The belief that you can be bigger is enough to start adding on muscle.
Yeah.
Right. And the belief that you can be more intelligent, once it's a belief, you don't have to challenge it, because that belief will guide you to pick up a book. That belief will guide you to lift a weight. It will guide you to eating your first bigger portion of protein.
Yep. It's like you said, it's that first step, though. It's like, you know, because if I genuinely believed I couldn't put on muscle tissue and I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that, what would be the point of me even trying?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even try. Whereas even if you just get that, and again, it's like motivation, it's fleeting. You know, these moments of, I'm not a, you know, everyone probably thinks I'm super positive all the time. I'm not. You know, positivity is like your mood. It changes and, you know, waxes and wanes, but take opportunity of whenever you do get this spike of motivation or this kind of like, oh, okay, maybe I can do this. That's when you need to strike. That's when you need to really go for it. But I must have initially gotten that from somewhere that then made me go, you know what? I want to start training. I want to start trying to get muscular. And I think the main driver behind me training, again, didn't know this at the time. Obviously, I was just training because I thought it was cool. But the main reason for me wanting to train and look the way I look was simply to break away from this image of cystic fibrosis that I had in my head. And I can remember this so clearly. When I was around 10 or 11, I remember exactly where I was standing. I was standing in my back garden, looking at my dad. Our dog at the time was playing with my dad. And I thought, I wonder if you lined 100 of my peers up, and I was standing in the middle, I wonder if you picked me out as the one that has the critical illness or the, you know, life shortening illness. And I said to myself, I don't think he would. I just don't think he would ever pick me out of that. Okay, if everyone walk along, this is a sick one. And that thought has stuck in my mind for 20 years, that I never ever want someone to look at me and go, oh God, he looks sick. And hopefully no one ever would.
So do you know what, right? This goes back to your why, your purpose, right? Yeah. This is an internal conversation that you've had with yourself that said, I don't want to line up amongst a group of people and anyone be able to spot this. So my driver every morning is to wake up to train. No one's telling you to get on your Edine in the morning, right?
Nope.
Like, you could just give in right now, as a lot of people do. Why is this so important to fitness professionals listening to this right now? During this time of COVID, there is a lot of retraction, people going down, heads going down. I can't, it's not possible. You know, everybody else is going to, everything's going to go wrong. And, you know, Ben, you and I have spent quite a lot of time talking over the last couple of weeks, and everybody needs stimulating, everybody needs motivate. But then deep down, there's some people, and I watch your stories. Do you think I want to be on the bike every day? Nope. Do you think I'm going to let myself down? Nope. Do you think I'm going to get it done? Hell yes. Funny glasses or no funny glasses?
I want to discover fillers.
But here's the thing. You are going to be in your house for quite a while, right? And you've told me that with lockdown.
Yep.
To minimize the chances of you contracting COVID, right?
Yep.
Now, this is where we talk to trainers and we're like, you know, you might be going through a bit of tough time in your head right now, but embedding a why, embedding a purpose in you, that doesn't leave you, right? I mean, for you, once you put that there, I know, obviously, you know, Janice and your life and the relationship you've got with your wife, like, but here's the thing, that is an underlying purpose in you. And I had, you know, I was at school and I had a lot of personal limitations in myself. Like, I don't know whether I was clever enough, I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that. And then there's one day, like you, I said to myself, I'm not going to let that get in the way. I want to make sure that I am that guy that not only now in my career that's able to provide and support and help personal trainers along their journey, but I don't ever want to be that guy that said he didn't level up. He didn't, you know, he couldn't provide. He wasn't able to do that. And as you said, it's that getting the cog moving forward. So you wake up every day, and this is going to be so powerful for trainers, but this subconscious story, this voice that's in your head that's saying every day, same supplements, same training, same routine. People go, but you can't live your life like that. And we talk, bodybuilders do it, fitness athletes do it, Olympic athletes do it. Like, what goes through your mind every day that gives you this? I mean, it's the mindset of a champion, bud. Like, you have the mindset of a champion, you have the body of a champion, you have a community of people that you help all over the world. But let's get inside your head a little bit. And what's the language that you're using with yourself every day that won't let you fucking quit?
So I believe there's you've always got options. I think everyone has an option that's either keep going or quit. And I, again, I'm a very visual thinker. Everything in my head is pictures. And when I think about those two decisions, it's door A, which is keep going, or door B, which is give up. And in my mind, I've bricked off door B completely because it's not an option to me. Whilst it's technically an option, it's not an option because that option to me, I don't even want to think about what my life would be like if I stopped doing what I'm doing. It genuinely scares the shit out of me. And I have no problem saying that. It's cystic fibrosis is a scary, scary illness. And it is on the back of my mind. I always said it's like my shadow. I will never shake it, but it needs to stay behind me. I do not let it get ahead of me, because that's the day that I'm going to have to work my ass off to get back ahead of it. And I don't want that to happen. So I have to keep moving. And it's exhausting. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, it is mentally draining having cystic fibrosis as well as physically. But for me, I look after my health, but the mental side of cystic fibrosis is exhausting. Every cough you have, every time you see someone else coughing, and this is way before COVID, way before this. Anytime someone's around me and they cough, and it's a particularly chesty cough, I immediately step back and go, oh crap, has that person got a chest infection? What happens if I catch that chest infection? What have they touched? Like, am I going to touch that? Am I going to then get that chest infection? Is that going to land me in hospital? Is this hospital visit then going to be the thing that damages my lungs? Okay, is that a slippery slope to then, well, I need a chest, a lung transplant in a couple of years? That 47, life expectancy. These are all the micro conversations I have with myself every day, every single day, that I do not get a break from. The only thing I can do to kind of quiet those voices down is the things that I can control. Training, recovery, supplements, getting enough protein in my diet, eating the right foods the majority of the time, taking my treatments. They're the only things that they never silence the voices ever. I don't think I ever will be able to silence them, but they turn the volume down a little bit because, as I said, going back to that option, if I take away all those things that I can control, the path, this option B of giving up, becomes real. And that is something I never, ever want to become real. So my option is keep going. Mm-hmm. Simple as that.
One, that inspires the hell out of me. Two, if we look at that, just move cystic fibrosis to one side just for a second. In life, we've got people that want to achieve. They've got this vision in front. Your community, the CF community we're going to talk about in a second, the people that you support, the people that you help, the work it takes to get there. All of us have got a niggling little devil on our shoulder that says, take the easier road.
Yep.
I believe that we've all got it. Like, it's there. It's the guy that wants to sit on the sofa in the evening. It's too long. The guy that wants to watch the TV for too long in the morning. The girl that wants to, go and spend time with their friends in the evening and just chill out and go partying, right? We've got this challenge, this doubt in us that is a thing that we're in control of. And whilst there are limitations such as your cystic fibrosis or any illnesses or diseases people have that can hold them back, we've also got people in themselves who haven't got anything potentially from a disease or illness perspective holding them back, but still let their mind pull them back.
Yeah,
they are allowing their mind to be the controlling thing that they are in control of, slowing them down and holding them back.
Yep.
And that's where, for me, the interesting thing here is you have something that you are not in control of, right?
No.
But you control it with your mind and your actions. So then we have other people who are in control of themselves and don't have these limitations, but allow themselves to be controlled. Now, do you think this is possibly because people don't have an inspired vision and mission, that because they don't have some direction that they've decided, like you said, I have a direction that I will not let CF control my life. I won't let it make me look small. I won't let it limit me from doing this. And I wake up every day with an inspired mission that is not necessarily wealth-focused. It's not necessarily service-focused. It's an internal mission to just not let this take you down. Yep. And then when we look at other people and we think you're letting your normal emotions take you down, would you believe that, you know, say that they, that there's nothing that they've created inspiring or and motivating about where they want to get to and what they're almost saying to themselves, giving themselves an internal promise like you've done?
I think for one, I am, as crazy as it sounds, I'm pretty grateful for having what I have, because it's given me such a unique perspective on life that other people just simply don't have. And my hope is that by people listening to me, people speaking to me as a person, they just get like a little tiny percentage of that way of thinking. But the honest truth is that it's hard for people to think the way I think, and I totally understand this, if they've never lost anything.
Yeah.
You know, I've lost my lung functions before. I felt what it's like for cystic fibrosis to come and bitch slap me across the face and be like, you have this, remember this. Like my parents' house, back when I got sick, I used to live with my parents, and it was four stories. My bedroom was in the fourth story. And growing up, me and my brother sprint up those stairs. I don't walk upstairs ever. I sprint upstairs. It's just the natural thing I do, but do that, no problem. And then one day I remember running up the stairs, getting to the top and being like, oh, what the hell? Like, why is this difficult? Brushed it off, thought, oh, I must have been holding my breath or something a little bit too long. Then I remember going to the gym with my friends and always able to keep up with them, always, if not exceed some of them. And I was struggling a lot. And that's obviously then when I first got my first chest infection and my lung function dropped by 40%. So to give people an idea, imagine trying to take a deep breath and someone is gut punching you just as you're about to get that full deep lung breath. That's what it felt like. And then after that, I was like everything was difficult. So I know what it's like to be on my knees, as it were. And the unfortunate thing is that it's so hard for people to think the way I think and the way other people think. This is not exclusive to me, but unless they have lost something, it's so hard to get them in that way of thinking where they've never been sick. They've never had any illnesses. They've never had anything that held them back. And I said the other day, I did an interview with Insider, and the analogy I used was it's like fire. And this just came to me while I was talking to one of my clients with cystic fibrosis. And basically, cystic fibrosis is an extremely destructive force, just like fire. But then you can look at fire in two different ways. You can look at it as the destructive force that it is, or you can look at it as a source of fuel. And humans have obviously been able to control this element to the degree where we can use it to fuel our homes. We can use it to heat our houses. You know, the term that comes to my mind is that guy's got fire in his belly, or that person has a fire in their belly. It doesn't mean their stomach's about to explode. It means they are fired up to go. And for me, I've seen the destructive side of cystic fibrosis, and I've seen what happens if I feed that, aka don't do anything to, you know, with the variables that I can control, you know, recovery, rest, nutrition, all those things. I've seen how destructive it can truly be. But I can also see, looking at it from a different angle, holy crap, that knowing the destructive force it has motivates me to do things when I really don't want to do them. So I'm using the fire that cystic fibrosis is to fuel me and to make me do the stuff that I don't want to do. And as I said, going back to your point, normal, aka normal people, have never had that. So it's very difficult for people to kind of snap into that way of thinking. Whereas for me, it's just the way I think now. I don't think I'll ever lose that. I hope I don't ever lose that.
Do you know, what you've just described is, you know, I talk about emotion a lot. You've been able to connect with the emotion of not having to the emotion of having, and you've chosen to take the having. And when we talk to people about choices in life, we haven't very often weighed up the drawback of not doing the things that we want to do. Like, what's going to happen it doesn't happen. Yeah. We're just existing. And then we're not creating what possibility is there if we go to the next level. So therefore, there isn't a, it's that fire. Like that, you and I talk about this. I mean, when I talk to you about your purpose and, you know, your purpose now with the wonderful work that you do is to empower and educate and support people who do have CF who are not educated. And you and I have discussed your unique gift, your unique genius in the fact that you now have this power and ability to help people along their journey. And when we look at like fitness professionals and personal trainers, and they don't necessarily take it upon themselves that they've been given this incredible gift to help people, this incredible gift to teach people something that they once didn't have. Like you didn't have your health, your body, your shape. And now we've got people with CF that you help all over the world to understand that those limitations don't need to be limitations. And similarly from the health and fitness world, personal trainers taking responsibility to not just be a trainer. You're not just a guy that goes to the gym and put posts out. You're now on a mission to teach, educate, support, and guide people along their journey. And what's the kind of impact, you know, what's the general, I'd say, state of people with CF? Is it generally of the kind of limited mindset? And is it something that you're able to, are you able to help people with? Are you doing a lot of work with them now to try and change that, bring that fire to them?
Yeah, I can honestly say, and it's amazing because it's just when you said that, I was thinking in my head and I was like, I've seen such a shift in people's perception of cystic fibrosis within themselves from just simply me existing, which is incredible to me. You know, I've never had to fake anything. I've never, you know, I've always kind of held this standard for myself that if you spoke to me in real life after seeing me on social media, there'd be no separation between the two people, because we all know that people on social media and who they are in real life can be very, very different. And the fact that I'm just being who I am, as goofy as I want to be sometimes, or as inspirational or whatever word you want to use, it's helping people around the world that I may never even speak to. I'm only speaking to the people who reach out to me, and we both know that you could be impacting someone who will never actually reach out to you and tell you thank you for what you're doing. And I've seen a huge increase in positivity when it comes to cystic fibrosis, you know, from my perspective anyway. Obviously, you're going to get some people who are negative.
Yeah.
Oh, you always will, regardless of CF or not. And, you know, so for instance, yesterday I had that insider post came out, and I had two people with cystic fibrosis, I wouldn't say attack me. They said they weren't attack me and it was nothing personal, but it was. It was very personal because they were attacking my message of hope and hard work and educating yourself and all those things. And that sucked. It sucked hearing those things. And yet I posted it yesterday, and it was not me looking for sympathy or anything like that. It was just me being open and clear with people that I was having a pretty shitty day because of those comments. Because I think, you know, I'm trying to help people and trying to be a motivational character for people who maybe aren't feeling the greatest, and to get messages like that was just like, oh, that kind of sucks. But the amount of messages I got yesterday, I screenshot nearly all of them, of parents with kids with CF. I had a guy message me saying, you're the reason why I started doing a triathlon. He wanted to be a triathlete now with cystic fibrosis. You are the reason. Another guy messaged me saying, like, he sent me a picture of himself from, you know, 10 months ago or something. He's like, I started listening to your podcast. Listen, you made me realize what I could do. And the progress between his photos are incredible. And, you know, just, I could keep going. There's about 40 messages of people just saying, with cystic fibrosis, do not let these people put you down. You've inspired me beyond belief. And I think that that's just the small percentage of people who are actually reaching out to me. There's probably some people who looked at that post and went, okay, he shouldn't feel down, like he's inspired me. But they wouldn't ever message me. So generally speaking, I think that the impact I've had on the cystic fibrosis community has been, it sounds like self-congratulatory, but incredible. It's something I am so, so proud. And I feel like you can't say that anymore. You can't say that you're proud of yourself. It feels like you can't pat yourself on the back anymore. But I don't give a shit. Like, I am so proud of what I've done and on the effect I've had on people's lives who I'll never get to meet, unfortunately. And, you know, I can send them videos and stuff, but I'm damn proud of that. I'm really proud of that.
Mate, well, you deserve to, because those who don't follow you need to follow you, need to follow you for your inspired mission and purpose in life, to give other people with cystic fibrosis hope and belief that they too can be strong, powerful in mind, powerful in body, powerful in spirit. But this episode for me was also for the personal trainers and fitness professionals who would get so far in life by just having a conversation with themselves and giving themselves a permission and a purpose to own their part of making the fitness industry a better place, because you are not the exclusive person inspiring and motivating people with CF. No, you have your own tribe. You have your own message. You have your own personality. We talk about brand. Ben Mudge is a brand. Ben Mudge is a personality. Every fitness professional and personal trainer very often will struggle to grow when they haven't decided what purpose that they are taking by the balls. And what group of people, whether it's weight loss, fat loss, muscle building, physique development, that they are going to take hold of and say, my journey, one of, and this is the funny thing, we're talking today on my mastermind that we were, you know, there's a guy on it who's come from being very skinny to winning shows. And he's got this purposeful mission to help other guys realize that you can be bigger if you were skinny. That's it.
Yep.
And what's the mindset that got him from skinny to big? Because that's now his mission. To show other people that it's possible. And so this journey that you've been going on through your journey with CF has now turned into this wonderful quest to help other people realize that they too can use it as fire.
Yep.
You know, and for other fitness professionals, I mean, would you have any advice for fitness professionals that are trying? I mean, if you ever speak to Ben about his drive, you'll feel the internal energy. But for any fitness professional, personal trainer out there, online coach looking to find their fire, what would you say?
Turn to your emotions. That'd be my best piece of advice. So I know what it felt like for me to not feel skinny. I know what it felt like for me to put on clothes that were, I mean, I can still, it still blows my mind that I look the way I look. Honestly, I'll catch myself in the mirror and go like, huh, what the hell? Like, how do I look like this now? Like, it still blows my mind that I could wear an XL t-shirt. So you need to realize that those moments where you felt that emotional power that you know, in yourself, for little wins that you've had, how great would it be to share that with someone else, for someone else to feel those emotions? And that's what I do. I think, okay, how did I feel whenever I didn't get picked last in a sport? You know, I play flag American football and I'm one of the captains. And whenever I was made captain, I was like, this is pretty cool. And they're like, why? And I was like, because I've never been the captain for anything. And they're like, what? I was like, no, seriously, I've never been the captain for anything. And they're like, but look at you. And I was like, yeah. I never got picked for teams. I was a sub for the seconds rugby team in a school that was terrible at rugby. I spent more time standing beside my dad than on the pitch. So the emotions that I get whenever someone picks me for a team or someone compliments my physique or, you know, anything like that, the idea of being able to share that emotion or, you know, give it to someone else lights me up. It makes me just think, oh, I would love that. I would love to give that to someone.
But you know what? CF or no CF, you've built an incredible physique. Like, sod the word CF, you have built an incredible physique that off the back of that merit has got you a captaincy with American football, that's got you a beautiful wife, life, and an authoritative. People are hiring you because of your physique. Probably some of them not even know about CF, right? Yeah. And this is so important at this point in the podcast that everybody has that same opportunity. And if you want more confidence, start the cog moving with the gym. If you want more confidence, start the cog moving forward with a bit more education. If you start the cog with a bit more fitness or a bit more weight loss, and it is about that snowball effect that you've just not given in, and that you've said to yourself, I am going to do this, and making a commitment. And I don't think people make a big enough commitment to themselves. You know, we're expecting others to carry us along the journey, but no one is going to get Ben Mudge out of bed. No one's going to put him on the bike, you know? No. So that's internal. And I think a lot of people look externally.
Yes.
I need motivation. I need to listen to a podcast. I need to listen to someone to tell me that I am wonderful. Do you really? You know, I'm sure that your internal dialogue is very powerful for you, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. The thing that I get asked the most is, how are you so motivated? How do you stay motivated? How do you get motivated? And my answer to this, and it's only something I've, you know, kind of stumbled upon fairly recently with my own, you know, kind of inner thoughts, is it's not the word you need to be looking for. It's not the word that you're chasing. It's not the mind state that you need to be chasing. It's dedicated. Screw motivation. It's dedication you need. And that's something I've always had. And the analogy I came up with the other day, I was talking to my dad about it, was that the way I see it is, imagine you're in a boat in the middle of the ocean, and your goal is to get to land, which you can't see. You know it's straightforward, but you can't see it. So you just have to trust that, you know, by going forward, you're going to get there. Now, in this boat, you've got a paddle, and you've also got a mast with a sail. And to me, dedication is picking up that paddle. It sucks. It's hard. It's boring. It's going to take a lot of hard work, but it will get you moving forward. Without a doubt, you will move forward. The sail is when motivation, the winds of motivation, which we all know winds are very irregular, they can come and leave in a second. There are moments where you will get to pull up that sail, take your hands off the oar, the paddle, and let motivation take you for a little bit. And you'll go pretty quick with motivation, because when you're motivated, holy crap, you've seen people who are motivated when they're training, when they're doing anything, they are like, just, they are on fire. And I think a lot of people are just sitting in that boat, twiddling their thumbs, waiting for that wind to come along and take them where they want to go. Just stare at the paddle and be like, nah, I'll just wait. Someone else will come along and do this for me. That's the best analogy I can come up with. You know, dedication is the paddle and motivation is that sail. And it's cool to, you know, occasionally wait for that wind, but realistically, you're going to have to accept the fact that you're going to be paddling a lot of that.
And do you know what? A lot of that paddling is going to be against wind. It's going to be against rain.
Choppy.
Someone's going to tip you out the boat. You're going to keep hold of the paddle. You're going to have to get back in the boat. You're going to be wet. Then you'll have a little bit of warm weather and it'll feel lovely. And you'll be cruising along. Yeah. And then you'll be smashed in the face by snow. And the funny thing is, going back to the thing that you said to yourself, I don't want to, this is not going to leave me, by the way. I don't want to stand in a line of people and someone spot that I'm the one with CF. You know, and that, if you think about the subconscious, I was bullied at school. I wasn't very clever. I didn't have many girlfriends. I wasn't very big. I was very skinny. And I said to myself, I won't be bullied again. I will be the dad that looks the way I do. I will have the business that I want. I will do. And then when you have this deep internal dialogue that you've created, which people would do so well if they started to, you've said something earlier, which is emotion. When you talk about not wanting to be the one that's spotted that in a line, not wanting to do this, not wanting to do that, that pulls emotion, right?
Yep.
When I talk about me and what I want in my life and what I want to not be regarded as, that pulls out emotion. And I challenge anybody listening to the podcast today to just sit there for a minute and say, where's my emotion? Because if it's not there, as you alluded to earlier, you got to find it.
Yep.
You know?
And that can take some time. That can take a lot of, like, it's, I've said this to my clients the other day, we were talking about goal setting and I was talking about their whys. And I was like, if your why is like, oh, I want to have abs, why? Because they would look cool. Why? Literally ask yourself, whenever you think you've gotten to your real why, but why? And I do this all the time. My internal dialogue is constantly going and you have to get down to the, you have to kind of uncover the stuff that you probably have covered up yourself, and it's going to suck. Sometimes it's going to suck kind of coming to realize that, you know, I don't like the fact that my motivation was to not ever look sick because of the illness I have. That's not a nice thing to think about. You know, all the negative things that come with cystic fibrosis, they suck to think about. But then if I kind of put the carpet over them and ignore them, you know, that's not going to benefit me. It's just hiding the problem. Whereas if I look at the problem face on and be like, right, you're the reason why I'm going to do this, it's as much far more powerful. So I think that it does take some time and it does take some, it's going to suck. You may cry a bit. You may get pretty emotional. Cool. That's fine. Like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with doing that and having that conversation with yourself. And the best conversation I had with myself, which kind of maybe is where I got this analogy for motivation dedication, was when I was doing the paddleboard from the Bahamas to Florida for cystic fibrosis 2 years ago. That sucked. But I had so much time in my own head because the physical action I was doing was pretty repetitive. It was just paddle, try not to think of the sharks that are underneath you, which are definitely underneath me. I had to have this conversation with myself and I got to some, I'm pretty sure that I was crying at some points on that board. And I was on that board for like 16 hours. I might've cried, I don't know. Like there may have been points where I was thinking about something so much that I completely forgot about what was going on the surface. And that was probably the best time that I had to myself, to my mind. And it could take that. It could be you going off by yourself, going for a walk, and no headphones, no nothing, and just listen to the internal dialogue that you're having. And is it surface level? Is it just all like, I wonder, you know, I've always said there's like different tiers of thought in my head. Surface level, what's going on immediately right now? Like, oh, do I need to step on this part of the path to avoid the dog crap? That's surface level stuff. Then you got a little bit lower than that. Like, okay, what am I going to do with the rest of my day? What am I going to do after this? What am I going to have for lunch? It's another tier. You need to get down to like the fifth or sixth tier to really get to the real good shit, in my opinion. And it's not easy because there's so much noise going around there everywhere else. So that's kind of my best advice. Just take yourself off somewhere and just listen to your own thoughts and listen to them, acknowledge them, and then dive a little bit deeper. See what they say, dive a little bit deeper.
Do you know what you just said then is such powerful advice. And sadly, there'll be many that go, yeah, I get that. But then they're choosing for the pace of life to get in their way and they won't take that time on their own. And I said to somebody this morning that I listened to a saying from Jay Shetty, who's a great storyteller. And he said that we are least creative when our mind is cluttered.
Yep.
And in order for us to be creative, in order for us to surface emotion and think, we need time, which is why people are advocates of meditation, which is why when you go on holiday after a day on the beach of lying there on day two, your brain starts to think random things because you suddenly have free time. And then you think to yourself, well, maybe if I did that more often and took myself for a walk more often. I actually said to Marsh, you know, we want to get a dog. And I said to her, we've got woods near us. And when I was walking with her, I said, you know what? I actually want to do this more often.
Yeah.
And I want to be alone with my thoughts more often because when I'm alone with my thoughts, I'm creative and great things happen. And I think that great things happen in terms of creating your vision and creating your mission and creating that deep emotion that inspires you to be the version of you who you want to be. And you are that version and you are inspiring people all over the world and you're an incredibly inspiring person. And I'm incredibly grateful that you've given up your time today to share your wisdom, experience, and journey with everybody on the podcast.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, guys, Sometimes I go heavy on you with the business stuff. Sometimes I go heavy on the coaching stuff. And then other times we discuss life and what shapes people to be who they are. And this is some of the most greatest lessons that you can learn, is listening to what gives people their superpowers. What creates and helps people to become inspired? Because for you to get to your journey and where you want to be in your career, you have to be inspired. You have to have that emotion that Ben's been talking about. And, you know, this means listening to these types of podcasts sometimes, which aren't all about marketing and biomechanics and nutrition and sitting down and actually working out. Yeah, I'm part of this equation too, right? I thank you for the time that you've given for us today. This is a longer one, but an incredibly valuable one, and certainly picked up pace. Did you feel it?
yeah, definitely.
It did. And I just want to thank you.
Happens with our conversations.
Hey?
That happens with our conversations. We just start talking about something and then just boom.
It does. And you guys are lucky enough to be able to listen to this one and listen to Ben's wisdom and knowledge and experience. So I just want to thank you again, bud. I really, really appreciate your time. I look forward to sharing this with you all. As always, guys, please, would you do me the honor of following Ben and following his journey? Remind everybody of your Instagram, Ben.
At Ben Mudge _. Someone has taken Ben Mudge, unfortunately.
And if you work with anybody with CF, you have anybody in your family with CF, if you want to know more about CF, then you have your website, right?
CFstrength.com, yep.
Which is fantastic. And follow Ben. His stories are great, fun, inspiring, and motivating. Great, great guy, as you guys have already heard. Please help more personal trainers all around the world learn, be inspired, and be supported through this time and all times by sharing the podcast. Drop me a message, drop Ben a message if you have any questions after today's episode. But for now, Ben, thank you for your time, bud.
Thank you very much, Mark. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.